Hi there. Welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back and relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
How's it going, Real Life? So good to see you. Welcome. As Blake shared, my name is Christian, and I'm going to get the first part out of the way. Yesterday, if you see me kind of limping around, I'm okay. I fell on the stairs last night. Yes. So I figured I would just, if you want to call me gimpy or if you want to make fun of me as a joke, but I'm okay. So I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited to get into God's Word with you. I always love for us to get our minds set on who God is as we journey through. And so to do that today, this is Romans 8, says this: "And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Today we have a God, for those of us who have accepted Jesus as Lord, it says that nothing can separate us from His love. Neither life nor death nor our fears for today, our worries tomorrow. And I am a firm believer that God's truth and who God is transcends what we can perceive, think, or feel in our situations. And so for us, regardless of how you're coming in here today, I believe that that is true. And for those of you who may not have received Jesus yet, that is the invitation for you. That God loves you, gave His life for you. And as we journey through this reality of this new series, mini-series, right, that we have overcome, amen? We're overcomers in Christ. And we're going to talk about that today. And so if you're in our notes, that's the first section, overcome. What does it mean to be an overcomer? What does it mean to follow Christ? And the spot that we're pulling this from, as Blake shared, is from Revelation. And a little bit about the context of this, we're not going into the weeds of Revelation, but John, who was a disciple, was able to start having these pictures of the future so that we would have a knowledge of the end. And we win, amen? And we're not going to get into the weeds of the different stances and things around Revelation, but for us in this series, as we're looking forward to the end game, we know that we are going to overcome. And here's what it says about that in Revelation 12. It's amazing. I love this passage. Revelation 12 says this. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night.'" Listen to this in verse 11. "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their life so much that they were afraid to die." Friends, it says, as we look into Revelation, as we get a glimpse of what the future will be, it says that the accuser who accuses us day and night. Have you ever felt accusation in your own mind towards things as believers? We have an accuser, an enemy. It says he accuses us to us and before God day and night. He does not like God and he does not like us. But friends, he's defeated. Amen. And it says this. This is one of the craziest verses to me. The first part makes sense. It says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, through Christ who has been crucified for us. Jesus says on the cross, "It is finished," and he meant it. We overcome by his blood. And we're going to journey through what that means. Essentially, the gospel. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And you know what is crazy? I can't wait to hear Blake preach on this next week. It makes sense to me that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. But then when it says, "by the word of their testimony," blows my mind. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve the blood of the Lamb. Not only did Christ save us and give us an inheritance, we're going to journey through what the gospel is as a reminder this morning, but then it says a part of how we overcome is by the word of our testimony. That is crazy. I'm excited about this series. Super excited. For us, as we look at Overcomer, that's a really good thought. And sometimes what the world would look at by overcome is just, you know, toughen up, be super strong, and you're going to conquer everything if you try hard enough. And in a sense, we overcome strictly because of what Christ did. Amen. But being an overcomer does not mean that everything works out, that if you have enough faith, then all will fall into place. You see, overcoming, being an overcomer in Christ, isn't absent of sorrow, difficulty, or tragedy, is it? In fact, as a believer, sometimes it can be even harder, isn't it, to follow Christ, and sometimes there's opposition. In fact, Jesus told us through telling his disciples and his word to us. This is John 16:33. Listen to this. It says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have what? Overcome the world. There's our subject today. See, Jesus himself was the Son of God, fully man, fully God, and he came down and he left his divine privileges and he stepped into suffering and pain. And one of the tools and crafted weapons of the enemy, I believe, is when tragedy or difficulty come along, that he implants ideas in our minds in hopes to get us to doubt who God is and in his goodness and to not trust him, or to get us through the difficulty to fall off because it was challenging. Jesus himself gave a picture of this when he talks about the seeds that were thrown, and really those seeds represent gospel, and he talks about different soils and the hearts of the soil that it would fall on, and it mentions that some people fall away when the storms come because they don't have deep roots. Some get distracted. The enemy comes and tries to tempt us. Sometimes for us, he gets us to doubt God. But friends, overcoming in Christ isn't absent of challenge. It says not if, but when. You will have many trials and sorrows. For some of you, you're in here today, and you are going through hard things. Sometimes this life in which we live, there are difficulties, and the world isn't intended to be this way. Jesus himself said, I came to destroy the work of the devil and to restore, to be a reconciler. There are hard things and difficulties that we go through, but Jesus says this, don't lose heart. I have overcome. You will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. And so if you're in your seat today and your heart is aching for one reason or another, Jesus says, don't lose heart. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't grasp it or understand it. But he says, I have overcome. Now, if we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, as we're talking about the blood of the Lamb today, really that just means the gospel. Everyone say the gospel. This is my kind of message. I could talk about the gospel every day. I love the gospel. I'm a firm believer that we should preach to our own hearts the gospel every single day. J.D. Greer says that we should never move beyond the gospel, but that we should dig deeper into it. That as believers, oftentimes people think that it's the front door and then you move beyond, but reality is, he goes on to say, is that the gospel is more like the pool in which you jump into and trench your life in, because it is the blood of the Lamb that we overcome. And so the gospel, as some of you were here last week, it'll be a little bit of review, but it never loses its sweetness in my mind. You don't understand fully the gospel without the backdrop of the bad news. The good news, which is what the gospel means, is seen as good news in light of our current bad news. And the bad news is that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. that we all have been swept away by our sin, that we're impure and it sweeps us away, Isaiah 64, that the penalty of sin is death. And I believe this, a mature, growing believer is not someone who doesn't stumble and fall. We all make mistakes. Anyone else? We all fail and fall. Even as believers, it says that there's a war with the spirit and the flesh, so you're not free to live out your good intentions, that you do with your heart. You try to do what you want to do, but sometimes you end up doing what is wrong. There's this battle as a believer, but I want to get this picture for us today so that the good news can be even sweeter for us, because I believe a maturing believer grows in humility, because the more you see Jesus for who he is, the more you realize outside of Jesus, you are not Jesus. We're not Jesus. And the more you learn and grow and the Spirit changes you and softens you, you start to see sin for what it is. And so a growing, maturing believer grows in humility. I see this picture of Ezra. Ezra is a prophet, and he was someone who was a spokesman for God and pleaded the case of the people. And he's someone who has this prayer in Ezra 9, and it kind of blows my mind a little bit, his picture of his own sinfulness. As Ezra 9 says this, it says, "At the time of the sacrifice, I stood up from where I had sat in mourning with my clothes torn. I fell to my knees and lifted my hands to the Lord my God. I prayed, 'Oh my God, I am utterly ashamed. I blush to lift up my face to you, for our sins are piled higher than our heads, and our guilt has reached the heavens. From the day of our ancestors until now, we have been steeped in sin.'" Here's a prophet of God who gets up before God and realizes his own brokenness. He doesn't get up there and point at the people. He says, "My sins," and then goes, "Our sins are higher than our heads." You see, when you see Jesus in all his goodness and glory, you start to see sin for what it is. And then this is where it gets so good, friends. The good news is that he came to take our sins away. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
To wash us clean. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And I don't know about you, but the longer I walk with the Lord and I get some more knowledge of truth, here's what I know about truth, and here's what I know about God's ways. It says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That the truth of God's word in our lives, there can always be more to learn and grow. At the same time, it says, have faith like a child. Does anyone tend to overcomplicate things in the room? A lot of laughs. There's a reason for that. I believe sometimes we can overcomplicate. Listen to how simple Paul calls the reality of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news that I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message that I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. Listen, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Here it is. Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the third day, just as the scriptures said." Look to your neighbor and say, "Don't complicate it." I'm serious. Look to your neighbor and say, "Don't complicate it. Don't complicate it." He was just killed for your sins, buried, and then raised. This is the good news that would save you if you would believe it. See, the blood of the Lamb is this, friends. He died and he rose for you. As you look at the word, there's way more in depth and growing and understanding of the gospel and who he is. There's actually a QR code in your notes today about books that I recommend on studying the gospel, but it is this, it is he died and he rose, and it is how you overcome, that we have all sinned and are steeped in it, and there's a penalty that we deserve, but Jesus in his love, 1 Peter, the precious spotless Lamb of God, as we shared last week, was for your sins. As we look at Jesus was our representative. In Romans, it says that just as Adam was our representative, that God appointed him, that when he sinned, all sinned, that we inherit a sin nature that we both inherit and then choose to live in each day. And as Adam was our representative, that setup, Jesus was also going to be our representative. Jesus was fully God and then fully man. And don't miss this, church. Every second of Jesus' life, he didn't come just to die, but he fulfilled everything under the law that we could not. And him in his fully manhood represented us so that he could do what's called the great exchange. Everyone say the great exchange. See, he fulfilled all the law. This is a couple weeks ago. Blake powerfully talked about Jesus fulfilled the law for us. He fulfilled the law. And then it says this in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If you were to get this picture, he had you over here and he over here, and he came and fulfilled the law perfectly in our place. Then it says, he who knew no sin became sin. He took on sin and then clothed you in his righteousness that he attained as our representative in every second of his earthly life. And it says, those who then believe, he exchanges. He puts his righteousness, and it's like putting on Christ like new clothes, and then he takes your sin, and then he dies for you. And then Colossians says that you, through Christ, have been reconciled, that you are seen as flawless without a single fault for those who believe. It is the great exchange. This is how we overcome. It is the blood of the Lamb. I have this analogy I heard years ago, and it has really helped my brain for this. Imagine there's someone who commits murder. Some of you may have heard this before. They commit murder, and they are caught on tapes. They go before a judge. They get 40 years in prison. They go to prison. They get good behavior. They get out after the 40 years. They are given 15 years of probation. So then they serve that. They get good behavior. Then they get done with their probation, and then they're deemed from society after serving the full sentence as sentenced served. Did you know through Christ and the great exchange, you are seen as sentence served? That's what Colossians is giving us the picture. It says that Jesus took the record of the charges and he canceled it, and then he nailed it to the cross, defeating the enemy, making a public shame of him over his victory on the cross. And now those who plead the blood are seen as sentence served. I want to ask you this morning. Do you live your life like sentence served? Not because God wanted to hold it over your head or accuse you like our enemy does, but to free you. This is how we overcome. It is by the blood of the Lamb. And here's what I would say, friends, similar to last week, but if it's true that we need to preach our hearts the gospel every single day, this is why it says encourage each other daily. It says encourage, and other translations say challenge each other daily. This message is for everyone. 1 Timothy 1. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. I remember going as an addict. I got in trouble with probation, and my probation officer said that I would have to go away for a year. This was 15 or 16, 17 years ago. Or I could go to rehab, and so I chose rehab. But on my way to rehab, I had to go to jail first for a couple weeks. She wanted me to get a picture of where I would potentially be headed if I hadn't changed my life. And I've told this before. Then there was a guy when I got there, big, big dude, just jacked dude. And I remember him walking up to me. I'm like 19 years old, skinny kid. And he comes up to me and he goes, "Hey," and I'm like, "Oh gosh, I'm dead, right? He says, "I want you to come to a Bible study." I'm like, "What?" And then I got all tough. "Are you kidding me?" Right? "You Christians, rah, rah, rah." I used to hate Christians. And he came to me every day for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He kept asking me, and then the Lord started working on my heart. I said, "Man, that guy's headed to jail a lot longer than me, and somehow God forgave him." Friends, God saves the worst. The very worst. This blood of the Lamb can be for everyone. Ephesians 2:8 says, "God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a what? Gift from God." Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none can boast about it, for we are God's masterpieces. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, listen, so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. He saves us by a gift, and then we get to live out the good things that he planned for. Not do enough good, then be saved. Not earn enough way, then be good. He saves us freely by grace. And it says you access it by faith. Listen, Romans 10:9, "If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your hearts that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced." This blood of the Lamb is for all. It can be accessed. It's given by grace, accessed by faith. And those who believe and declare him as Lord will be saved. And it isn't just an acknowledgement of his existence. James says, even the demons believe and they shudder. We can look out and evidently see the power of what God has created. We can look at the people in which he has created. And we are living in a miracle that we're just used to. Our planet is floating unattached to something, orbiting in a circle as we sit here. He does miracles every day. Every time you look at a person, every time you take a breath, we are living in miracles that we are just used to, church. And it isn't just acknowledgement that he's there, even the demons believe, but it is a declaration of a heart of repentance to declare him Lord. I don't know about you, but when I'm in the driver's seat, it just doesn't work. Anyone else had to figure this out the hard way? It is going, "God, you are God, and I'm not. God, I want you in the driver's seat, because when I am, it leads to nothingness. And God, I need your blood. I want to be an overcomer," which isn't absence of difficulty. It isn't absent of sorrow. The devil comes in and tries to use crafted weapons of deception to get in your circumstances and then implant lies about your circumstances, doubt God and his goodness. But we stand our ground and we overcome by the blood. We plead the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. And someday, I can't wait for this day, it says that there's going to be no more pain or sorrow or death anymore. He's going to restore all things to new. That we angels are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This walk in which we live is difficult. There are hard things. It's a temptation to fall away. And Jesus had to say to his own disciples who saw Jesus himself raised from the dead, you're going to have trials and sorrows, and your heart is going to get to a place where it's tempted to be overwhelmed, but take heart, don't lose heart. I have overcome. Would you hold on? Would you trust me? Would you stand firm on what I've done for you? And it's not easy. It's not easy, but church, we win. There might be battles that are hard and weary. We might make mistakes. Anyone make a lot of mistakes? Yeah. I'm not talking about mistakes falling down the stairs. I'm talking about mistakes that we make. We stumble. We want to do what's right, and we stumble and fall on what's wrong. We want to be a certain way, and we end up responding a different way, but we stand in the blood. And then it says, because of this, because of the gospel, give your lives to God. It says that we are to be lovers of God and others, that we are to make disciples and bring the truth into the world, that we are to frame up the gospel in many ways, which is our next section, which is how? How do we do it? What do we say? And when do we bring this message of the gospel? And there are all kinds of invitations for us throughout the scriptures. It says that we are to pray, intercede for people. Some of you are in this room because someone prayed and prayed and prayed for you. It says that we're to do this for all people, including kings and authorities. That the situations that seem hopeless, that we can come to God and go, God, I pray for their heart. God, I pray for your salvation. God, I pray that they would open the door as you are always knocking, an acknowledgement that God is always working and trusting that God is going to work, that he cares even more than we can even comprehend. We can be people who pray that the gospel would be heard and understood. It says this in 1 Thessalonians, and I can't wait for Blake to unpack this even more when it comes to testimony, but it says that we're not to just share the gospel message, but our very lives with people. That we are to always be ready to give a response. Sometimes the answer isn't going and shoving the Bible down people's throats. Would you believe it or not? It's being ready to give a response, looking to see what God is doing in that heart, and praying for an opportunity, praying that you would join God there to share this truth. Some of the weirdest conversations, but best ones I've had is actually in the sauna at the gym. It's really funny. And you know, I have people go, hey, where do you work? And I go, to church. And they go, oh. And you go, oh, yeah, man, I've been changed by Jesus. And I'm just telling you, in a sauna, you got to be short and sweet. You don't got much time in there. Sometimes it's being ready to respond when someone asks a simple question. Sometimes it is praying for boldness in a situation where you have to sit down and really spell out, there is a heaven and there's a hell. And I've had to do that. And those are the hardest things because I'm worried that people aren't going to like me because of it. Paul says, if I wasn't a Christian, then I wouldn't be persecuted, that the cross alone saves. When we stand on the Christ alone and you take out all the effort of man and it is Christ's power, it says you will be persecuted. And so sometimes I'm afraid to have these conversations because I want everyone to love me and like me. Anyone else? The rest of you are liars. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes it's being bold. The Bible says, do everything you can to hasten and quicken the return of the Lord, that you're to gently and humbly oppose those who oppose the truth. The word is gently and humbly. Some of you need to hear that today. In all these things, the gospel, you can keep learning and growing and understanding, but it is as simple as Paul said, Christ was died for your sins. He was buried and he is raised for the forgiveness of sins. Who thinks they could repeat that? All of us. God calls all of us. Do we have a heart that is an I'm sent heart to the world to tell the gospel? In Isaiah 6, there's this crazy picture, yet another prophet of God, and he's working to be a spokesman for God. And then in Isaiah 6, it says he had a vision and was seeing the throne room of God. And it says when he saw him, he said, I'm completely undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a place of unclean lips. And then an angel came, and it was a foreshadowing picture of the gospel in Jesus. And it says that he took the coal and it touched him, and then he cleansed him. It removed his sins. And then later he overhears the conversation of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they're saying, who should we send to this people? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. Because when you understand the glory of the gospel and the sins being removed, we stand up and say, here I am, Lord, send me. 2 Corinthians, we used this verse last week as well. It says, we plead and we beg as if Christ himself were pleading through us to come back to God. There's this picture of this, and this week we're talking about the gospel message, and next week we're going to talk about our lives and our testimonies. But I've used this before. I love this picture. Let's take a break from the message and let's go on a journey in your imaginations for a minute. Imagine you are driving down the road in the middle of the night and it is pouring rain. The kind of rain that you can't really see even when the windshield wipers are going. Has anyone ever driven in that kind of rain before? And you're on the road and you're going through a city and all of a sudden you're going over a major bridge over a body of water and there's lightning and thunder and rain and you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you slam on your brakes because there's a break in the bridge and you skid out, hydroplane, your car comes back around, you are now over the edge and you are about to go over, you get out and the car goes down. And you compose, you're looking down, and you see there's all kinds of bodies and cars. People drove off to their death. And so you're like, I gotta tell everyone else. You see more cars coming, and you're waving. You look like the crazy guy in the middle of the storm on the bridge that everyone's like, get out of my way, you're honking. And you're going, and they don't listen. One car, two car, three car, dead. And then you see more, and you're like, you make a decision. You make a decision, you go, I'm not letting them pass. So you go, you're that crazy guy again. There's a bus and he's honk, 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 honk. You don't move and he pulls on his brakes and he about wipes you out, but he stops. The bus gets out. They look at the bridge. They realize what just happened. They turn the bus and then there's a wall of people stopping people. See, we're headed towards one of two places, friends. Heaven, where God wants none to perish. He wants to restore all things. He died with his own blood because he wants none to be lost, or hell. And people are headed down the bridge to way worse than off the bridge. And Christians in the world's eyes are the crazy people on the bridges in the middle of the night that look insane, that go, stop, and the world goes, you're crazy. Will we be people that are okay with seeming crazy? You guys want to be crazy with me? As we get ready to end here today, I want to ask you some questions, and we're going to do communion a little differently today. I want to ask you this. One, do you need to receive Jesus today? If you're watching us online, if you don't know who Jesus is, it says he stands at the door and he knocks. It is the only way you overcome is by his blood. Would you cry out to him today? Two, have you forgotten what it means to be an overcomer because your lenses through your current circumstances are so challenging that how could you be an overcomer with all these things you're going through. I know that that's what it feels like, friends, but I want to invite you to Jesus' words. When you have trials and sorrows and your heart is heavy, don't lose heart. He has overcome the world. Would you today go, God, I'm going to choose to trust you in the hardest of things because of who you are. I want to ask you this. Are you living a here I am, Lord, send me life today? And if you're not, you don't have to let the enemy accuse you, but you can go, God, here I am, send me.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus, one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or giving opportunities, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.